What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online when the game starts.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
We're back. You see him on the screen. There is the coach, Sean Walker. My brother, Allen University. Yellow Jackets doing his thing, man. I know he had a tough weekend, but they're going to bounce back. They're coming to Atlanta this weekend to play Clark and Morehouse. We're talking about these first two games from last week. Brother Sean, man, how you doing, brother?
Doing well. As well as can be expected. You know, the Lord is in the blessing business. So I'm happy I'm here. I'm alive. I can't complain. A lot of people have it worse. Losing two games is the worst thing that ever happens. I think I'm doing okay.
I hear that, brother. You know, it's funny. We talked about it last week about trying to close out games, and it kind of really raises an ugly head again against Tuskegee. I know you. This is something you talked about and talked to players. Not learning experience for your guys, but it's not a tough way to close out a game. Not get the job done.
I tell you, the Tuskegee game certainly was a disappointing loss, to say the least. I mean, at this point, you know, everything that happens that's not good is the coach's responsibility. All right, so you know, I'm extremely frustrated that we're not able to finish games. I've got to figure out how to get my team to respond better in that moment. Tuskegee is a game that we led for 39 minutes and 48 seconds. And we went down for the first time in that game with 12 seconds on the clock, with 7 seconds on the clock. We had the free throw line, missed the first one, made the second one, had to go to overtime and lose. You know, and we were up 10-11 under 3 minutes on the clock. So we have to do a better job. Obviously, that loss is one that hurts a lot. But we have done the same thing throughout the course of the year. We have just not lost one of those games. And so now we have lost one of those games, so it heightens my level of concern. And, you know, over the last couple of days in practice, we've spent hours and hours on trying to figure out how to play smarter in the last minutes of the game.
No doubt. And I feel like sometimes young men, they fall into that hero ball mentality sometimes when they late in games or it gets tight. They forget what's worked the first 35 minutes of the game, but they get last time they get tight and then they get start making bad decisions or want to be the hero and not realize that if you play team ball, if we play the whole game, keep executing a high level the whole game and not change who we are when it gets tight or gets close, it can really close the deal out the right way.
Well, I think for us, you know, when we're really good when people allow us to play at our pace, all right? When we play at our pace, we can play connected. We can control the elements of the game. We can make it pretty hard to play against, particularly when we have the ball, because we do some things that make teams have to chase us. We're at our worst when a team is right there ready to quit, but they need to make that one last push to just attack us and come at us. Sometimes it's not even a trap. And we get kind of caught up in the watching the clock and hoping that the clock goes down to zero when we're still up, as opposed to continue to attack. You know, we have an issue. You know, I think, boss man, when we were growing up, man, when I was growing up anyway, I'm a little older than you, we heard this term about toughness, and toughness would be physical toughness back in the 80s and 90s, right? And then as we got into the 2000s, we started hearing about mental health and mental toughness. And so I think as we move into the late 2000s and 20s, in the 2030s, this term of emotional toughness is going to come into play. And how young people can make a mistake and gather themselves back so that they don't make another one. And how young people can see a mistake made and then capitalize off that mistake, opposed to me now having to make one because you made one. And momentum actually turns around on you, even in life, tremendously if you don't handle adversity well. That's where we are right now in the last 2 minutes of the game, all right? We if there's one turnover, you can rest assured that another turnover is coming. If there's a missed free throw, you can guarantee that a missed box out is coming on the other end. So we've got to just improve in that. And once again, I'm just saying to you, every issue that we have is an issue that I need to coach better. All right? You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I think sometimes coaches get to the point where we start blaming the players. I'm responsible for leading this team in the right direction. So we have to address the issue of emotional toughness. We have to address the issues of being fundamentally sound, and we have to address the issues of closing games. And if we don't do that and get any better than that, then Sean Walker has not done his job. And I'm not going to allow that to be the case if I can help.
Nah, you're right. You know, that's something that my father, Big J, what they call him, Big Boss Man. That's why J.R. from. That's why they call my dad Big Boss Man. Right. He always say, don't compound the problem, son.
Right.
If you drop a pass or miss an open shot or a strikeout, don't compound the problem.
Right.
Ask yourself, where did you err at, and be better. You have the talent and skill, you wouldn't be on this field or this court or this situation. So my father always told me, don't compound the problem. I try to say that to my teammates, you know, when I play, don't compound the problem. Because I know from when I played, if my quarterback threw an interception, he was pressing the rest of the game.
Right.
He'll overthrow you, he'll underthrow you, he'll messed up, you know. And I feel like sometimes as young men and players, we can't let those things compound. My dad was putting my head. Don't compound the problem. Make one mistake become five mistakes. You know?
No question. And that's where we are, man. Yeah, that's where we are. That's where we are, you know, really as a society. I mean, we got to be able to pick up the pieces where they are, where they fail. Don't complain about it and gather it up. So, you know, I mean, I think that's a teaching point for our young people, and it's a teaching point for us as adults as well. I mean, I had to be sure that my words after that game aligned with the fact that the season was not over. You know, I said to our players that the Bible says, morning by morning, new mercies I see, all right? And so if we're a Christian person, we know that, you know, you make a mistake and then God shows you favor to be able to correct that mistake and move on another day and give you a new mercy. So my speech before we played Spring Hill was, you know, ain't it a good thing that your season didn't end on Thursday night, right? You have an opportunity to capitalize on that mistake. And we didn't win. You know, obviously I'm not happy about that. I'm concerned about that. But we still have 15 games to go, and our objective now is to win the next 15.
Now, Sean, like you said, like I saw the improvement from Tuskegee to Spring Hill. Definitely seen turnovers. Spring Hill only had 7. And when you limit those turnovers, you have an opportunity to be successful. And I know what results you wanted, but still, you cut down turnovers over half of 17-7, which is good for a 40-minute game of basketball.
Yeah. So we, you know, I was not dissatisfied with how we played against Spring. Spring Hill beat us, all right? Spring Hill made some shots in a timely fashion that were devastating shots. The shot that beat us at Tuskegee was at the end of the shot clock, 1 or 2 seconds left on the shot clock. The guy turned around, threw the ball at the basket, and it went in, and we went down 4. All right. Spring Hill hit 2 shots like that. The first shot in the second half, the guy shot the ball from the corner, and the ball hit the middle of the backboard from the corner and went in. All right. And so they hit 2 shots that way. And so that game was much closer than a 12-point game. I mean, the score at one point was 64-60. We stole the ball, went down the floor, laid it up, and they blocked it from behind. We did cut the lead from 64-63. We just didn't get over the hump, and then I think something like that anyway. And then they end up outscoring us at the end of the game. But, you know, we took care of the ball. We didn't guard them as well as we could have. They had a player got 30 points and a player got 20 out of their 80. You know, so that's not going to win games. We didn't turn the ball over, but they shot the ball 50% from the field, which is an enormous number. It lets you know how they shot the ball, and we normally keep teams under 40%. So all my hats off to Spring Hill because they out executed us. They played better than us. I thought we did a lot of good things. Against them, we didn't win. But, you know, we've got to solve this offensive, this rebounding issue that we have. We have to solve this issue of turning the ball over. We foul excessively as well. And then we've also got to be able to finish games and take care of the ball better. So those are 3 or 4 entities that I think that we can improve on. They're all correctable things. And I don't think anybody's going to want to really see us once we get close to tournament play.
And, Sean, how's it been for your guys, man, to adjust to no more charges pretty much, having to have your hands to the sky? How's that been adjust for your guys not being able to take your chest no more when they're not really going to call that as they once were?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. The charge has now almost been taken out of the game. You got to restrict the area, can't take a charge in there. Now, I don't even know what this rule is about how you got to be set or whatever the case may be. You know, we don't really talk about it a lot, man, because at the end of the day, you know, the way I've adjusted to it in teaching is let's get to the ball before we're in a desperate mode to have to take a charge, right? Let's get to the ball. Let's run to the ball. Let's keep the ball under control. The charge or the block shot is the Red Cross. You're in an emergency, okay? And so now the ball is in there so deep that you got to let it run you over because somebody's got beat. Somebody is in a position that they're not in front of the ball. And so we work real hard at trying to keep the basketball in front so that we don't have to be in a Red Cross emergency situation. Now, obviously, we do want to take charge. There is time and place for that. We try not to go airborne because we really don't have a shot taken, a shot blocker back there, but it's definitely a major adjustment into the game because you can't just sit in that hole now and wait for people to run you over. I don't think anybody knows what a block is. Or anybody knows what a charge is. When the whistle blows, it's going to be a block. All right, so we got to try to work against that theory and not get ourselves in that position.
Yeah, I've been telling young men and myself, just keep your hands up high and live the result. Because if you even have the semblance, you're reaching down to fire. That's right. Just keep your hands in the sky and live with the result and make them have to look like a fool when they get tape reviewed or call and follow.
Absolutely. That's it. And that's, hey, whatever they call it, the fish is not going to change it regardless. So.
Exactly. And you know what, Sean? I saw some positivity for you too, man. Off your bench, 38 points off your bench against Spring Hill. I know you weren't well set for your starters, but off the bench, man, you had great production off that bench against Spring Hill.
Yeah, so, you know, I have a starter, the guy that was starting, that came off the bench. I played two post guys. Basically, I may play one 23 minutes and one 17 minutes. I may play both of them 20 minutes, depending upon how they're playing. So we played 10, 11 guys. So it's just a matter of who's going to play well. Jordan Edmonds at Spring Hill had a really good game. He's a freshman. I think he had 14 points in the career high that comes off the bench. Tariq McAdoo, actually, he plays behind Tariq McAdoo, and Tariq McAdoo is a senior that, you know, we look for to score some, but really to rebound for us, and he'll find a way to score and have double-doubles, 10-10, 10-12. So we play a lot of people. That number of bench points is not startling to me because we're seeking every night collectively to see who's going to play well and put those guys out on the floor for the long haul.
No doubt, man. And talk about this matchup. You come to like Atlanta this weekend, brother. Got Morehouse on Saturday. First start with them. What are you seeing for them guys on film as you prep for those guys coming up on Saturday here?
Yeah, this is going to be a tough weekend. I think that Morehouse and Clark are definitely one of the top five teams in our league across the board. Morehouse is big and strong. They have a wing player that can really take the ball to the basket. They shoot the ball from deep. They're a complete basketball team with size and strength and quickness and shooting ability, and they post up strong. You know, Clark Atlanta, super talented. Obviously, they beat Mercer early in the year in Mercer's first game. Super talented. Style's a little different. They play a little faster. They're a little bit more aggressive on the defensive end. Both teams are coming at you hard, which is a concern of mine, again, as that's our weakness. You know, it's going to be a tough weekend for us. We have not won in 2024. We started 2024 0-2. All right, one of those games was a game that we probably should not have lost, but we did. We have to figure out a way to play well in Atlanta and figure out how to win one or two of these games, all right? And, you know, we don't want to get ourselves in a position where we want a four-game losing streak before we come home. But it's going to be a tough weekend. I mean, two teams very well coached, very aggressive, great players. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere. School's just getting started for everybody. So Morehouse students will be there. Clark Atlanta students will be sitting right on top of us on Monday. We're going to have to be physically, mentally, and emotionally tough to perform and come out with a win on either one of these days on the weekend.
And, Sean, looking at y'all standards in the SIAC, man, a lot of you all bunched up between 5 and 3 wins, man. So it's not really nobody blowing nobody out. No, Phoenix got 7 wins. Wiles has 6. But a lot of you all had 3 to 5 win range. So what tells me is depth in the conference and you are 8 on any given night. It's about who falls the details the closest, executes the small things the best for winning these games. That's the margin what you all are playing against with everybody being so close right now.
There's no doubt about that. Benedict's the cream of the crop. They're 9 in the country. I think they're 15-16-0. They've been punishing people, beating people 30. Clark Atlanta and Morehouse are two quality teams that I think are top teams in the league, and of course Miles. But obviously Miles and Benedict at this point, the way that it looks, you know, Morehouse goes to Kentucky State last week and loses. Kentucky State, I think, won their first conference game against Morehouse. Morehouse goes to Central State and beats Central State by 30. Albany beats Florida A&M early in the year. Albany has, you know, kind of been on the skid since then. You know, Spring Hill loses to Benedict, comes back, beats us. Spring Hill is beaten. Edward Waters really good. Morehouse beat Spring Hill really good. The league is super duper balanced outside of, you know, Benedict, who's extremely powerful. And so we're just trying to carve our place out here in this spot, man. I don't know exactly where we are. I would have felt really good if we could have finish the game against Tuskegee. But Tuskegee's only won, I believe, one game, maybe two games in the conference. And Tuskegee is as good as anybody in the league. They're big and strong. And, you know, they made 9 3-pointers against us. They got a dog inside with Montez Jones, who's extremely good. Like, Tuskegee is a solid team and very well coached. They're trying to put it together. So, championships won in March, not in November, not in December, not in January. So, the team that improves the most and has the farthest to go, grow, and then grow and figures out how to grow is going to be the team that's going to be very dangerous going into the tournament.
What's beautiful is you got these weeks to get better and hopefully to peak at the right time in Savannah. And,
that's right.
And make that run. So, all these adverse times now can come back around. Like, it would happen for a reason, and that we better for it.
That's right, no question. And that's the part that we have to infringe upon our kids, is that it's not over until it's over. And you can lose 5, 6, or 7 games in a row, which we don't want to do, but you can win 4 games in a row and make history. And so we got to positively move forward to that task every day. We practice this morning at 6 o'clock, practice tomorrow at 4 o'clock, because we'll play Saturday at 4 o'clock. We're practicing toughness. We practiced yesterday at 11 o'clock. We're practicing adjusting and adapting. 11 o'clock, we're off Monday. We practice 11 o'clock on Tuesday. Practice 6 a.m. on Wednesday. Practice 4 o'clock on Thursday. Get on the bus. Hopefully practice at Morehouse at some point in time and be ready to strap up on Saturday. And so we have no excuse not know we got to adapt. We got to adjust. We got to, I don't care what, if it's cold, if it's raining, if it's early, if it's late, it got to be ready to perform. And so that's the element for me that I'm working on, our emotional toughness, right? Nobody wants to get out of that bed at 4:30, wash your face, come over here in the cold and the rain, let me fuss at you and cuss at you in the morning. Don't nobody want to do that. Matter of fact, when the alarm went off, I hit snooze 3 or 4 times. So, but at the end of the day, this is what's necessary for this team. And it's important for this program, for the culture that we're building. We're fighting for this new culture every day. Hey, I'm expecting it to pay off. I'm expecting it to pay off for us, for something good to happen for our young people. That's what's most important, something good to happen for our players. And if we can make that happen and keep moving them and teaching them and motivating them and edifying them, something good should happen for them. Coming down the back stretch of the year.
No doubt. We're looking forward to having you see this weekend, my good brother, and seeing you. We hope we can bring you some good luck as well. It'll be a tough one. We hope we can support you. We're going to do that for you, my brother. While you see Atlanta, you know you're good. Why you here, brother?
All right. Fantastic, man. I can't wait.
Folks, it's Sean Walker, the Sean Walker Show. Check us out always for Allen University basketball. We're out.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.